Books of the Bible. The Gospel is present throughout all of Scripture, beginning with the book of Genesis. Immediately after the fall, God promises a Messiah who will crush the head of the serpent. Even in the Garden of Eden, God was preparing the means of our salvation through Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now, I'm really going to push the envelope. This is Wretched Radio, 16 minutes. Dr. John Piper eulogized Dr. John MacArthur. And what would we expect from an orator like John Piper? In fact, when John Piper finished this 16-minute presentation and he walked off the platform, kind of maneuvering his way through the piano and all of the instruments and all of the stuff that was going on in the platform at the John MacArthur Memorial, I thought, that's one of the finest orators in the country. He just powerful preacher. And I thought, maybe, just maybe, listening to what Dr. John Piper presented about his friend with whom his heart was knit together will be an encouragement to all of us that maybe, just maybe, some people whose hearts are no longer knit to ours perhaps could be.
John MacArthur loved the taste of the honey of heaven. He was greedy for the treasures of the Word of God. He told a few of us some years ago, "I have never ceased to be thrilled with the preparation to preach. I love to discover the truth of God." He loved the quest. It was a fulfillment of Psalm 111:2. "Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them." So he loved the quest, and he loved even more the treasure, the seeking and the finding. It could never be said of John MacArthur, "Always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth." He loved to learn, he loved to arrive, he loved to stand. Most of all, he loved to preach, to herald the treasure that he had found in the Word to other people. A shared joy is a double joy. You see more clearly what you say more clearly. Commending a treasure intensifies the experience of its worth. And so he loved to preach, and he was good at it.
Yep.
Oh my. So clear, so textual, so precise, so zealous, so authentic. Authoritative, practical, relevant, anointed. God made John MacArthur an extraordinary preacher. At every level, I was drawn in. Quest, discovery, treasure, heralding, anointing. 50 years ago, that's what I wanted. John MacArthur was 7 years older than I am. 50 years ago, that seemed like a chasm. And yet, thankfully, the admiration of the younger for the older grew with time into a friendship. The spark flashed in 1988. The year before, he had published The Gospel According to Jesus. John was dismayed that the tribe, the evangelical tribe from which he had come, been nurtured, given him a love, a deep love for the Bible, could also give rise to a theology that, in its understanding of conversion, would say things like, you can receive Jesus as Savior and maybe later make him Lord, To that, John said, page 210, Jesus is Lord. And those who refuse him as Lord cannot use him as Savior. I couldn't put this book down. I was totally compelled by it. It was so relevant to my situation. So in February of 1988, I wrote an article celebrating the book in our little denominational magazine, The Standard. And John told me later that the fact that James Boyce and J.I. Packer would write forewords for the book and that I would celebrate it so publicly awakened him to the fact that suddenly his tribal connections had just enlarged. In a sense, John, to his amazement, found a home in the stirrings of the Reformed resurgence. But for me personally, the gratefulness that he showed to me in the Lordship controversy was more significant than common tribal identity. John befriended me.
And it appears that friendship endured to the end. Did you know that?
And he never stopped befriending me. I doubt that he liked everything I wrote. But when he really liked it, he called me. I couldn't believe it. When he read Spectacular Glory, he called me. When he read Providence, he called me to just effuse. And in those conversations and others, it became clear we have a deep common taste for the honey of heaven. We have a shared greediness for the treasures that are more precious than gold. We love. We manifestly love the Bible, the Word of God. God opened our eyes to see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, and we saw it everywhere in the Bible, and we loved it. We thrill to study it, to uncover the unsearchable riches, and to preach the beauty of what we see. How could we not be friends?
John MacArthur and John Piper were friends to the end. Is it possible maybe we could be friends with those that we now know were his friends?
How could our hearts not be knit together? That's what the heart is, right? It's a valuing organ. And when two hearts value the same glory at a similar intensity, they cannot but be united. Three things helped me realize the preciousness of this friendship. Number one, the debt, the enormous debt that we both owe to our fathers. And that was a debt also to the fundamentalist dispensational heritage in which both of our fathers grew up and were nurtured. And John and I would never come to despise that heritage.
That also is interesting, considering our conversation on ecumenism. He was referring to Independent Fundamentalist Baptists. John MacArthur actually attended Bob Jones University. That's an Independent Fundamentalist Baptist denomination. If John Piper is telling the truth, and I have no reason to doubt him, Neither he nor John MacArthur ever despised his independent fundamentalist Baptist heritage. I think this is yet another signal that would suggest that these people in this camp with whom we don't tend to hang out as much, brothers and sisters, and we can enjoy their fellowship too. Sure, we can keep disagreeing on things like skirts or haircuts or whatever the issue is, but if we're square on the gospel, if all of the essentials are in order, then we, like John Piper and John MacArthur, do not need to despise those brothers and sisters. We, like John Piper and John MacArthur, can actually enjoy them. As Dr. John Piper continues to eulogize John MacArthur, we should feel this challenge. We should feel this. And my desire is not to pontificate and tell all of us with whom we should all associate, but it is to pick up on what I believe were cues that were dropped all over the place at the John MacArthur Memorial. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what I love about coffee? It's not just the first sip in the morning, though. It's pretty great. It's that you can count on it. Every morning, it's there, ready to wake you up and get your day started. And that's exactly what we've built with the Fortis Plus app. It's your daily dose of biblical truth, ready when you are, completely free. Think about it. Every day, the culture is throwing lies at you faster than you can dodge them. Your kids are getting discipled by TikTok. Your marriage is under attack. And the world is telling you that up is down and wrong is right. But what if every day you had access to voices that would remind you what's actually true? Dr. John Krotz, Pastor Brad Bickney, Dr. Adam Tyson, Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Libby Gloss, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, all on Fortis Plus, where you're going to find hundreds of hours of content and new stuff being added daily, absolutely free. Look, you're already reaching for your phone first thing in the morning anyway. Why not make it count? Download Fortis Plus right now and start your day with truth instead of trash. It's free, it's biblical, and it's exactly what you need to stand strong in this brave new world. Fortis Plus at FortisPlus.org. You know what's frustrating? Reading about the Holy Spirit and still not really understanding how He works in your life. I mean, you want to understand, right? But it just feels so unclear. Well, here's something that's going to help. Fortis Institute fellow Dr. John Krotz is going to be coming to the Wretched Studios on Saturday, August 30th. He's going to be doing 6 sessions on the Holy Spirit. Like, how do you know when the Spirit is leading you? Or how does the Spirit help you deal with sin? What does it mean to be adopted by God? Look, if you've ever wondered about this stuff, this is your chance to finally get clear answers from someone who really knows the Bible. Coming up Saturday, August 30th, 8:30 in the morning is what time it's going to get underway and start. You can be here, you can be a part of it, absolutely free, but space is limited. So go to FortisInstitute.org/Holy Spirit right now, as quick as possible, and get signed up, because the limited spaces will fill up fast. FortisInstitute.org/Holy Spirit. Trust me, you'll be glad that you went. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside-down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day, and that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Krotz to Pastor Brad Bickney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you've grabbed the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody, and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truth should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Revelation. God has revealed Himself through many means, including the conscience. God has given each person a conscience so that they can understand His moral standard and their failure to keep that standard. While the conscience can be deadened and twisted by sin, every human being has an innate knowledge of God's law.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Who'd have thunk? This is Wretched Radio. Dr. John Piper, surprising many by delivering a heartfelt eulogy to his lifelong friend, Dr. John MacArthur, sharing three reasons their hearts were knit together. Reason number one, their dads and their treasured heritage from the fundamentalist movement. Are you challenged by that? May I ask you, my conservative friend, assuming you're not a, well, actually, I'll ask both camps. If you're not a fundamentalist Baptist, do you treasure your fundamentalist Baptist brothers and sisters? If you are a fundamentalist Baptist listening to this here, not independent fundamentalist Baptist program, can you love those who don't share some of your applications of liberty? Can we, like John Piper and John MacArthur, treasure one another? That was reason number one that they were knit together.
Second, our friendship was thrown into very strong and stark, beautiful relief by the fact that we were so differently wired by way of personality. Many of you, I can tell by your laughter, remember a most vivid illustration of this during a panel discussion in which the panel leader asked us to comment on how we deal with discouragement. And I told the story of sitting on the steps of a guest house crying and my wife coming to me and saying, Johnny, what's wrong? And I said, I don't have any idea. And MacArthur looked at me like I was from another planet. And he said, I don't have time to be discouraged. I just go on to the next thing to be done. Anyway, it was a wonderful learning moment for all the young pastors out there, because I wanted to say to them, take heart, not everybody's like MacArthur. God uses melancholy pastors. My point is, those differences, and there were others, had the effect of throwing the value and the beauty of our friendship into very sharp relief.
Did you catch that? Mm-hmm. Four words. And there were others. It's all the other stuff that most likely you're thinking about that were distinctives between John Piper and John MacArthur. But did you hear how casually they were treated? Not that they are not issues that lack importance or any sort of gravity, but they're not issues that divided them, because their hearts were knit together in the essentials, the love of the word and the love of the one the word reveals. I honestly think, I don't know how intentional this was, but it sure feels like a loud message is being sent. Hey, y'all, conservatives, we can have disagreements on stuff and still love one another.
It was sweet. Finally, the third thing that intensified this friendship was that we were both never satisfied with words, doctrines, ideas, arguments. It was in our DNA to push through words, through doctrines, to reality. Doctrines describe reality. They're not reality. God is reality.
Amen.
Christ is reality.
Amen.
The honey of heaven that we tasted in the Bible was Christ. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
I would love to go off on a diatribe from this diatribe to remind us that theology is good, theology is needed, but theology isn't the end. It is the means. The goal is Jesus Christ. That should be the goal of your Bible study. That should be the goal of every sermon. Not just to learn. That's important, but that's merely the vehicle. The destination is Jesus Christ.
The greediness that we felt for the treasure of the word was greediness for Christ. There will never cease to be the need for doctrinal battles, and I'm sure if he were standing here tapping my shoulder, he would say, be sure to say, contend for the faith once for all delivered for the saints.
But is the message, don't be contentious with your brothers and sisters while you contend?
But that commitment to contend together was not the sweetness of the friendship. The sweetness of the friendship was captured by John Owen in these words that I find extraordinarily insightful. He wrote, "When the evidence and necessity of the truth abides in us, when not the sense of the words only is in our heads, but the sense of the thing abides in our hearts, when we have communion with God in the doctrine for which we contend, then we shall be garrisoned by the grace of God against all the assaults of men." That was the key. That was the most important thing. That was the sweetness. Communion with God, communion with the living God in the doctrine for which we contend. When the essence of a friendship, commitment to the living God in the doctrine that we contend for, when that is the essence of the friendship, death doesn't end it. Both of us still enjoy communion with God at this moment. And in that sense, we still enjoy communion with each other. So thank you, Father, for the life and the friendship of John MacArthur.
If we will have ears to hear, I believe there's much for us to ponder. Christ is the centerpiece. Jesus is the one around whom we all gather. And yeah, we do it with various shades of polity, secondary doctrines. But when we come together and our master is the Lord Jesus Christ, there should be sweetness, there should be fellowship, not acrimony and backbiting and canceling. My entire Christian life has been one of theological precision and necessity. It's what I dig. And I've studied the issue of ecumenism because I'm one of those individuals who would say, I'm not even going to go onto a platform at a pro-life rally and share it with somebody with whom I do not share the essentials. That's where my ecumenical lines are drawn. I'm further right on the issue than I suspect many people are. And I share that because responding to what we saw at the MacArthur Memorial, it stretches me, challenges me. I like lines. I like clean lines and black and white separation. Don't need to think about them. Don't need to deal with them. They're out of here. That's my bent. But I think the MacArthur Memorial should cause all of us to consider our bents. Will we or will we not be a people that loves one another, fellowships with one another, communes with one another, delights in the Lord Jesus Christ with one another, because he is the centerpiece of our faith. And his prayer to the Father was that we would have unity. Yes, it must be biblical. It must be orthodox. But unity, it must be. That's our challenge, courtesy of John MacArthur. Perhaps his last parting gift to us. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.